Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
What's happening?
I merely discovered the error in your deception, that my memories are not without value to you. I knew because they belonged to me, you would see them as trophies and be unable to resist them. You took the things that were me, and in doing so, you have become me. We are one now. We are me. Goodbye, brother. Goodbye, brother.
We have a podcast, not a radio show, but a podcast called, for an episode called Surrender, of episode 8 of season 3 of Picard, dude. On yes. The Star Trek series. And it's Star Trek Picard, and we are called the It's Got Star Trek podcast, episode 179.
You should do that every episode.
All right, so wait, we're covering the episode Surrender. Now, which order did we do this in?
Surrender.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. We are covering Surrender.
Yep.
Which is Star Trek Picard Season 3, Episode 8,
mm-hmm.
but it is Episode 179 of the podcast.
Totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's, so, I got that in my notes.
All right, so we're all square with that information.
No!
All right.
No!
Yes. Okay, we'll get to Vadic and her various phrases this episode soon. Mm-hmm. First, I must direct all of our listeners to the most recent, yes, to the most recent episode of the Open Pike Night podcast, in which I was invited to be a guest on that episode, which was focused on recasting roles on Star Trek Strange New Worlds from Star Trek, the original series, that have not yet shown up on Star Trek Strange New Worlds, but may at some point show up. For example, Scotty or McCoy.
Like Farrell or something.
Who? Farrell? Oh, Farrell. Lieutenant Farrell. Yeah, there Farrell. Was a lieutenant. Well, no, that one didn't come up.
he was kind of a shit that guy.
Anyway, I... yeah. it was indeed an honor to be invited to join into the frivolity over there. So I encourage everyone to go listen to that.
Nowadays, podcast. They could do like the alien characters from the animated series.
I agree.
On the bridge.
I think that was like a good...
They could have Eryx and the cat one.
Yes.
Caress.
Emress.
Emress.
Something
like that. Mares.
Mares.
Meow.
All right. Yes, I agree. These are all things I agree with. That they should do a sequel episode that incorporates TAS characters.
Well said.
All right.
Let's talk about reality now.
So this week's episode of It's Got Star Trek, diving right in to this very interesting episode.
No!
No, there was some awesome stuff that happened. Yeah. A couple things that I wasn't a huge fan of, which I don't know if you want to start with the good stuff, which is most everything, or the one or two small things that aggravated me.
Hmm. Well, I think we should start the show with a bit of levity.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a joke about something that floats in the air?
No, that's a good idea, though.
Okay.
That's a really all right, good idea.
Sorry.
So, what do marsupials put on their salads?
Wait, is this a joke you tried before and messed up?
No, I didn't mess it up. I didn't do it on the air.
Oh, okay. This is when you
kangaroo cheese dressing.
You've been working on this. You're workshopping this.
I've been workshopping this one.
But we don't know neither Jesse nor I know the punchline.
But Jesse said What'd you say, Jesse?
Kangaroo cheese dressing.
That's close.
It's because it's similar to blue cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. You give up?
What's the question again?
What do marsupials put on their salads?
Koala boil.
Wow, that's really good. That's better than mine. That's fucking good. Fuck.
I don't know.
No.
No.
They put on the marsupials for when they eat salads. They cover it in Ruffert dressing.
Okay, all right. I know. Okay. Now I remember you told me this, and you told me the punchline. Yeah. And the problem I had with it was, is I had argued that I'd never heard of Roquefort dressing.
You knew about the cheese.
Of course, I know about the cheese.
Yeah.
I am well schooled in the school of cheeses.
Well, that would be like a, like, it's like an intense kind of blue cheese, right?
It is.
It's like similar to blue cheese, but it's like more like right now, in your face.
Now, Dan pushed back on it, and Dan informed me that there is, in fact, apparently old people like this, and we're not being ageist here, just that people of a certain generation
I've heard of this,
have the term Roquefort. Yes, exactly. Jesse's 1 year old. it's like he's of that generation. But I had never heard of that before. But yes, I'm not a big fan of the punchline because it makes me uncomfortable.
Ruffert cheese.
I don't like that. I like what did he say? Koala's oil?
He said koala oil, which is fucking so much better.
I was really trying.
You just came up with that, though. Yeah. So, I mean, well, doesn't matter how hard.
I was thinking of a marsupial. I was like, kangaroo.
Doesn't matter how hard you tried. Koala. If you came up with that on the spot, man, shit. I had to workshop mine. So, yeah, it's funnier if it would make more sense if it was Ruffert cheese dressing, but they don't call
it's just that makes me think of roofies.
Okay, maybe that's
and
the
I
problem.
I don't like that. Oh, yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
But the thing is you'd think they'd call it Roquefort cheese dressing because they call it blue cheese dressing, but they just call it Roquefort dressing. So, and apparently Roquefort is popular in Australia.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
That's from what the internet told me.
See, the cool part
That's
about,
what the internet told yes, me. I okay. could be wrong.
The cool part about this is that that statement you just made right
Set
there.
Set us straight.
That exclamation Australians. You just made right there, that assertion you made that Roquefort is popular in Australia. Now, did you mean Roquefort or Roquefort dressing?
Just the cheese.
So first of all, I'll point out that your whole joke is about Roquefort dressing. Mm-hmm. So stating that an entire culture of people enjoy
I didn't say that.
Cheese
I didn't say that.
Does not support your argument.
They have koalas, so they just use koala boil.
But
I did not say.
I also want to point out.
I did not say that all Australians love their Roquefort cheese.
No. I know you didn't say that. What I'm further attempting to point out is that you have been workshopping this joke off the air, as they say colloquially. and one issue here is that this is not a Star Trek related joke. Now,
whom was he workshopping?
If the punchline was like the koala malat.
Koala malat. Oh, man, so many good koala jokes.
Oh, man.
Then it brings it back to Star Trek.
It has a lot of battles.
Because this is, as we do have to remind ourselves periodically, this is indeed a Star Trek podcast. It's in the name, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry.
No, it was great. I enjoyed the levity. I agree. We needed to start with some levity. There was no reason not to.
I'm looking up.
There's some heavy shit in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
yeah,
there is.
Yeah, there is.
I'm trying to find the website that said that Roquefort's popular in Australia, but I can't find it now. But someone did say it's
okay. It's all good.
And now I'm obsessed with this.
No, but you needn't be. We could have people write. We have listeners in Australia.
They can set us straight.
And they can, yes, they the Unplanned Trek fellows in Tasmania, they can set us straight.
Whoa, Tasmania.
When it comes to Roquefort.
According to foodauthority.nsw.gov.au.
That's New South Wales?
Roquefort cheese, which is made from...
Is that the University of New South Wales?
It's not EDU, it's just .gov.
Oh, so that's the government of New South Wales.
Roquefort cheese, which is made from raw sheep's milk and is unpasteurized, was recently approved for sale in Australia by... That doesn't say it's popular in Australia.
It's approved for sale.
I swear, I believe
they have a lot of sheep in Australia.
Okay.
Is that right?
They have a lot of sheep in New Zealand.
And New Zealand.
With the Hicks and Zafleta. Flitting it all the veils.
But they do have
Zealand.
Some sheep.
Okay, so again, we are off topic as it relates to Star Trek.
Because it would have been a funnier joke because
sheep.
It's kangaroos are in Australia and Roquefort cheese would be on Australia.
I dig it, man.
Shift it up for a Tasmanian devil and see what happens.
Tasmanian devil cheese.
Okay, so Star Trek Picard, Surrender.
Okay. Serenity Now.
Okay, I'm just going to get it out of the way because it's all yeah, of, this dude. Is a mere personal opinion.
Rip it right off.
There's nothing wrong with this. I have no doubt that many people appreciated this scene. And not to jump ahead in the plot, but I think, you know, why don't we just mention this? Because the show opens up with Vadic is in control of the Titan, and she's getting all threatening and all that stuff.
She's lighting like a... What is she smoking? Some kind of funny little cigar
thing? Yeah, like she's been doing that the whole time. It made me think about, like, what about, like, how would a shapeshifter absorb cigarette smoke?
I took it to be a subtle indicator of their modifications that make them more human.
Are that good?
And it's one of the weaknesses. They take on human weaknesses like addiction.
Oh, interesting.
An addiction to nicotine.
Yeah, sure. Because you couldn't, like, if you were a traditional shapeshifter, could you rub nicotine and mix it in with your goo body and make get addicted to it?
I'm sure you could. Why not?
Yeah. But you wouldn't have lungs.
But I guess what you were saying,
or
Patrick.
Fentanyl.
But Patrick, if you
Starfleet issue fentanyl.
Patrick, what you were saying about like
rub it into your goo bones.
Being able to replicate shapeshift in organs, yeah, you'd probably start to get some tendencies if depending on how well that they're at it. But
so she's doing all this super dramatic, scary stuff. And it is scary. She's a real threat. And
yeah,
Amanda Plummer
kind of terrorist
is doing a great job. Mm-hmm. What I will say right up at the top, just to get it out of the way, because otherwise I loved so much of this episode, was the whole scene with her threatening everybody and doing all that stuff. I was like, okay. Dan, you've talked often about the whole cliche thing, and normally this season they've been really good at avoiding a lot
because
of that.
I'm Starfleet.
Yeah. Well, that, well, okay. Yeah. So, I like that, but yes, it's sort of a cliche on cliche on cliche. That was not so much the problem I had with
it. The delivery was just kind of funny to me. It was like, because I'm
Starfleet. I liked all of that. I liked all of that being followed up by the whole opening of the front doors business gag.
And the whole gag.
I like the whole fuck solids, fucking solids
fuck
gag.
Solids. I like the fuck solid gag.
I liked solids. All that business. I don't think they needed to kill
Tavine. Yeah.
I think that was unnecessary. Yeah. And I was a little frustrated by that. And I get what they were doing. They wanted to make sure the stakes were raised and all. I appreciate and accept everything from a sort of a storyteller perspective. It's a choice, and it's a choice some people are going to dig. For me, I kind of thought, you know, it is fun to see the heroes actually kind of like pull out the stops and kind of win one. We've already seen a bunch of dead people in the hallway. It's not like nobody's fucking died here. Wouldn't it be cool if at the last minute they just open the doors and she's all like fuck solids and it's like, okay, that's hilarious. And we get to keep the very intriguing, interesting characters.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer when you lose a character. I remember though, I had an issue with, I think it was the season finale of one of the Discoveries. I think it was the latest one. There was like, they made it out, like there was this galaxy ending situation. This is spoilers for last season of Discovery. And so all this like hell was raining down and like people had to like evacuate and all this shit happened, but nobody actually died. Like they tried to play it up to the last second, like the Earth was going to get destroyed or maybe it was Earth or it was
Earth
somewhere.
And like the Vulcan planet.
Yeah.
Earth.
And so there's all these stakes happening and we're supposed to be like, oh Navarre, no. And then magically, it all like goes away. And my issue with that was like, absolutely not. They took no risks with that. The universe is falling apart and nobody like got injured from it.
Nobody.
I felt in that instance, there weren't enough stakes, but in this one, they went for it and it does seem a little out of place.
For me, it was merely, it felt a little cruel to the audience because, and especially honestly, and I hate to say it, if they had picked some of the other lesser named bridge crew. I mean, I liked all the bridge
because
crew.
Because I'm Starfleet.
Could have been that guy.
Well, I thought it was going to be that guy because he's the one that Jack...
He's the one that was doing it.
He was the one that Jack took over and when...
got jacked.
And that's what's been great and the misdirection has been good. And it's hard to predict what was going to happen.
Right. And so I thought she was going to kill him and then when he was like... And she was like, tell me where Jack is. And then he was all like...
Because I'm Starfleet.
Yeah. I thought she was like, okay, fuck you. And then like shoot him in the head. But no, she... went actually went after Esmar, and then she switched over to Devine. So
Esmar.
So maybe. So I guess it was a misdirect. Yeah, it was
okay. And I guess here is where I have a little bit of a structural discomfort with it. Is that
I'm having structural discomfort.
The scene thematically, the purpose of that scene
in the inside of my butt
is to be surprising, is to show how serious Vadic is, how fucked up she is,
means business,
and how fucked up the writers are, that they're like, that we want to really get across here. Exactly.
Yeah, dirty Star Trek.
She is a fucked up person. Here's the problem. She dies not long after this.
Yeah.
If she doesn't come back, it's like, okay, you've demonstrated another layer of fucked upness of this already fucked up person.
Right.
And now she's dead. So no, it undercuts it a little bit.
That's a good point.
The value of it.
Right. There was no value. Yeah.
Of the sacrifice.
That's a good point.
I wasn't sure that she was actually going to die. I didn't know that, you know, getting space was going to get her.
Who knows? She's a goo person. So maybe
she's a goo person.
I don't like saying that.
She got real shattered, though. But those gooey people can get.
Well, they got phased or like torpedoed.
They got cohesion.
Because they sort of inexplicably blew up the Shrike.
Right.
Like, why'd you blow it up? Wouldn't you normally just capture it?
I don't know. I think they were really pissed. They were pissed at that shit.
So
it was very satisfying to see that thing kind of.
It was cathartic.
Normally, when you see somebody sacrifice someone else, like a villain,
I guess they blew up Jean-Luc Picard's remains. Though.
They were.
It was unclear whether they brought them over.
Yeah, it's unclear.
Usually when a character gets sacrificed because of the supervillain, I guess it's to show how mean and terrible they are. But there was. Nothing that they really it didn't force them to really change what they did. Like the death didn't really they were trying to take over the bridge, Jack and company, and like that was their plan all along. And so it didn't force them to change it, like anything that they were doing. And like you said, she just kind of died in that episode. And that death kind of snuck up on me. I felt a little bit like the gravity wasn't enough for me because, like, I was when it happened, I was like, "Wait a minute, she just died!" Like, I didn't feel like, "Oh no!" I was like, "Oh shit!" Because it just happened so suddenly. So I didn't quite feel like because
she was such a formidable enemy that this whole time, like,
well, you know. And there's a contrasting example from Discovery, which is with Lieutenant Arium, where there was also a situation where there was a sacrifice involved, but it was much more closely tied to the actual plot of what was going on in that particular season. So, I mean, again, it's something that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with this choice that they made, but I think it's for some people like me, I think it's a little bit more on the more death. And this person seemed like a very interesting person. I would have liked to see more stories with down the line, at least to imagine more stories with.
That character was a Vulcan.
Yes, I believe so. And then
you always need more Vulcan.
But also, and the thing is, that's precisely why they picked her character as well. And I understand that they picked her character because. That character was designed to connect with the audience, and so you feel it when that person dies. I just don't know that it was entirely necessary for this part of the plot.
Well, speaking of death, Vadic's death, I can play a 20-second clip of her dying.
Oh, really? This practice you've developed of including time codes, and I believe
just to get you ready.
No, I'm just saying. I believe this might follow on that one time you had like a three-minute-long clip, and I was like, you can play it. I don't think we can keep it. We had to edit out a big chunk of it.
Yeah, I think I warned you that it was 3 minutes, but I don't think it was really. I didn't.
You did warn us,
but that the weight wasn't carried of what 3 minutes actually means.
Yeah, 3 minutes is. I mean, 1 minute's a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, and I liked this death because it's just, you hear the different sounds of like,
I like this death.
You don't hear her dying.
I'm a big fan because it's silent. It's a silent death.
No, you hear the
silent, but deadly.
You hear the space sounds, but you can still tell something's happening.
Space sounds?
Yes. So we're going to be,
all right, be
pleasantly, pleasantly quiet while Vadic dies.
While we enjoy this 20 second clip.
Getting out of your system.
Shatter.
Yeah, and that was the last time we heard that. Because the shrike's gone. That was the strike.
Bang on that piano a little bit.
Oh,
bang on that piano.
My phone went to sleep.
Oh, you got to bang on that piano.
That's the strike march. Is the
Yeah, that's the light motif.
Bang on, just bang on that piano. Yeah, that's how I like it. That's how Daddy likes it. Yes! Yes! Boong! Tinkle, inkle, inkle. Well done.
What's going on there?
These are my own sound effects.
Wow, well, that's cool.
Yeah, do you have a problem with that, Dan?
I've used them before.
Maybe I do, maybe I don't. So, So Jack is able to jump.
Execute.
That's a quote from Vatic.
Oh, is that a quote from Vatic?
Yeah, you didn't pull the quote of her saying execute.
Execute.
Are you talking about this one?
You have 10 minutes to come to the bridge.
And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
Yes, I was thinking.
Any of you fucking pricks, no! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you. Execute.
The Jack in the box. Ready to
Jack in the
pop.
Box.
Pop, pop.
That disturbed me.
I know, that was so pop, pop, pop. I was like, this pop, lady is way
pop,
active.
Pop, 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 pop.
Jack, Jack,
pop,
Jack.
Pop, 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 right. Pop. Amanda Plum is like, I'm going to make my mouth so round. Pop, pop, pop.
She's from Canada.
Pop, 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 laboratory.
Wait.
Like a Jack in the Box ready to pop, pop, pop.
We didn't just hear that.
Yeah, but it was a lot of chaos going on.
Well, I did not mind hearing it a second time.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right.
You have 10 minutes to come to the bridge.
And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
Was just playing all again. Why not?
Yeah, execute.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
Oh, man, that's great. That's good.
B'Elanna's on it.
B'Elanna is indeed. B'Elanna is indeed.
We've really got our thing going here, don't we? We've really found our rhythm.
Yeah, but he hasn't played the hologram one. Yeah. Is he saving that for the end?
Which one?
Holograms?
Yes, that's right.
That one?
Holograms.
Holograms. Ga-ga-ga-ga. Holograms.
I like this one. He's all sad.
Holograms.
Yeah, no, I took that one too.
So Jack was able to jump around into different people. Okay. So
yeah,
I bet you Jack's current mind, because we're...
His brain is gone.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Actually, no, he just has extra brain.
So, okay, that's what I'm saying. I have a theory. I have a working theory of what's going on here. Because Vatic was talking about how Jack, you know, she was talking about how he's like hopping around from species to species. Yeah. You were all alone. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
So what I think is happening is I bet Jack's current mind is really just Captain Archer's mind. Leaping from body to body on a quantum level.
Okay, yes.
Quantum leap?
This is one of those classic, classic Dan Quantum Leap jokes.
Yes.
So did you ever watch Quantum Leap?
Oh, I watched a lot of Quantum Leap.
Did you watch any of the new Quantum Leap?
I never saw any of the new one. I was looking forward to it, but then I never saw it. And it probably wasn't as good.
And you missed your chance, of course, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there's no coming back to that one.
Yeah,
anymore.
Well, you didn't see it when it was on the air. So
right, and that's, as we know in this day and age, that's even harder than ever.
Zero possibility of ever catching up with it.
But anyways,
it was a summer.
So this, what's happening is Archer's leaping from mind to mind, but there was a screw up on the quantum level. So instead of taking over Jack's brain, he is co-opted Jack's brain, so they're on, is that the right word? So they're like, they're, it's not that Archer is taking over his brain, they're working together. It's like there was a quantum screw up. Sam screwed up, or Al, or whatever. Al screwed up.
Mushy.
What was his name in what was Al, Al's Al. Name in Enterprise?
So what I gotta tell everyone at home,
good Lord,
is that what you're really missing out on, and which we could possibly do a Patreon on, would just be, we would have a live, not a video podcast per se, we would just have a live feed of Dan's gesticulating hands as he's making a point.
Dan's.
Because particularly tonight.
Gesticulating hands.
There's so much being communicated.
Yeah.
I think he's doing a great job of conveying his thoughts using words, but the body language.
He's a well-spoken fellow.
Yes, because he is indeed Starfleet. The body language is vigorous tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So what was Al's name on Enterprise?
Dr.
Sam was Captain Archer, and Al was on Enterprise.
He was that guard dude, that warden dude, that prison monster.
Oh, he was on this show, really?
Yeah, he was on Enterprise.
Dean
Anyways,
Stockwell?
Yeah, Dean Stockwell. So Archer jumped into.
I don't remember that character.
So instead of just one mind and Jack's mind, and instead of like Jack's mind or someone taking over Jack's mind, he's got a data lore situation going on where there's two minds in his mind.
Somebody gets jacked.
You know,
Jacked got jacked.
I gotta say, Dan, that
I am who I am.
Hey, I am.
I'm not sure how serious of a proposition this is.
Do you think I was making something up?
Well, yes, and that's not the issue.
I think you're definitely up to something.
The issue is not being creative and making something up. The issue is passing this off as a legitimate theory when I do not think you have much faith in this theory.
Oh, I think it's I would okay. I would do all sorts of stuff.
I bet you would. I would do all sorts of stuff.
He's going to do it.
I think you've demonstrated that. Anything else about Vadic's death or this sort of chunk of the storyline? Well portrayed, well acted. They kept us on our toes.
Colonel Gratt. That's what Dean Stockwell's was. In.
Oh, Colonel Gratt.
Right on,
that's what
dude.
It says. Colonel Gratt.
No, I believe you. It's just not particularly interesting. No.
Well, I just in case anyone was like had a loose end.
I do appreciate that service that you've provided to our listeners.
Okay.
I mean that sincerely.
I mean, it's fine.
No. I had not taken into account that there would be some subset of our listeners who would want to desperately know that name, couldn't remember it, and simultaneously couldn't be bothered to look it up.
He was a Tendaren military officer. Tendaren.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, Patrick, we were talking about Vadic.
Vadic? Yes, indeed. And what I was saying was that while I do think they want to touch cruel with this other all the other stuff around it, I thought was an interesting way. Presumably, again, I'm you know saying presumably to tie up the loose end of this villain. Now, there is one other kind of structural issue that this brings up, and I was touching on this last week a little bit. On the preponderance,
don't touch on things.
On the preponderance of mysteries, parallel and concurrent mysteries, any one of which is very interesting and all that, but that there's a lot of them, and so much of your opinion of what's going on is going to depend on the resolution of these various mysteries, and they've been doling them out now in this latter part of the season.
They might as well call them Dolomite.
Okay, and
dole them out.
That is one option.
Holograms.
Dolomite.
Holograms.
Dolomite. Dolomite.
Holograms.
Dolomite.
But
nothing at all.
Okay, so we have all these great scenes with Vadic. That's all that great. But That's all that great. That's a common aphorism, isn't it?
Sure.
If not, I'm going to insist that it is. I'm going to put it out there.
Sure,
in the
it world. Is. Mom and them.
Okay, so we meet Vadic. She's evil and scary. She's chasing down Jack. She has some reason we don't know. At the beginning of the season, we don't know why she's chasing down Jack. And as the season progresses, we find out a little bit more background on her.
But we have more questions.
And her followers or whatever you call these people. But we don't ever actually learn what she wants from Jack, other than she wants to get Jack for this hand head guy.
But, right.
But now Vadic, the villain, had an awesome death. It was a good classic Star Trek death. It was surprising. It was shocking. It was fun. It required everyone working as a team, which is great.
Kind of snuck up on me. I wish there was a little bit more.
Well, and so here's the thing. Now she's dead, and it's like, okay, that's great. She's dead. But again, we don't know who the head guy is. We don't know. She keeps saying, like, now Jack is now the time that you learn who you really are. It's a Jack.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, she did do that.
But then we don't learn it from her.
Yeah, right.
And presumably we'll learn it by the end of the season. But again, it starts to maybe not concern. Concern isn't a fair word because I'm still enjoying the hell out of all of this. But little things in the back of your mind are like, I don't know. I hope what he turns out to be is actually interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Because it can retroactively make everything awesome.
Yeah. I mean...
But it can have the opposite effect as well.
But I was hoping that the Jack situation would somehow relate to why the face monster can, like, warp to people's hands. But, you know how, like, because Jack can jump to people and the face monster can jump, like, somehow... I want to know why that face monster has that power to, like, how they have the power to communicate with face monster from far away. Right. But I don't think it's going to be related.
Some kind of, like, smoke vapor technology.
Yeah, I think they're not going to explain the whole reason why face monster was able to talk through Vatic.
Yeah, probably space not. Face. I think it's going to be left in the air.
Monster face.
Pizza the Hut.
Yeah.
Oh, boss, you're so delicious.
I'm a prince.
I don't know, it's a good... Prince.
So I don't think they're gonna resolve the face monster situation.
I think you're right.
At least
resolve it, but
yeah, but not like why he can do what he does. But I was right about something. This whole Jack like situation with his brain, where it's led to brain with his brain.
Yeah, okay, yes, you said it funny.
Yeah,
and then you said it funny two more times.
I know because
you
I
said
knew
it funny by accident, and then you said it funny on purpose.
No, it was to combat you because I knew you would start laughing at the way I pronounced it, and then so I had to like disarm you. That's all right.
Well, in that event, your plan worked perfectly.
Excellent. Yeah. So the Jack superpowers where he can jump from thing to thing, and then they're talking about Picard's earmatic syndrome. Maybe we want to hold this discussion off later, but I think I was right where I was thinking that there was something. Don't you hate that when people are like, I was right. See, I was right. I'm smart. I know
You're
things.
You're not usually like that.
I'm smart and I know things and I was right. Which is exactly what I'm doing. But the earmatic syndrome is somehow related to Jack's power. Presumably, this is an assumption.
Something like that.
But they're trying. They're specifically going for that earmatic syndrome
because they took a bit of his lobe.
They were. What is he, Ferengi? What is he, Sneed?
Sneed.
Quark. So they're looking.
Quark.
And then there's quark. So they're
depends if it's whether it's the Grand Negus or if it's Odo.
So they're going.
Quark.
They're
going. Sorry, I'm just amusing myself.
No.
All right, continue. We got to take a break soon. Yeah.
They're going for the aromatic syndrome cells.
Yeah, aromatic syndrome.
Aromatic syndrome cells, and it's presumably has to do with, I think, it has to do with Jack's powers, you know, and like...
Powers.
And so something about the aromatic syndrome is not bad like they thought it was. It's actually a superpower that can like fuck you up if you can't control it right or something.
They've indicated, on one of the logs, it indicated that the quote-unquote, the aromatic syndrome diagnosis was now in question.
That's true.
That it maybe was misdiagnosed.
Maybe that's all.
And maybe it was something a lot of people have suggested could be something related to the Picard's time as Locutus in the Borg.
Well, so
maybe
it wasn't genetic.
But maybe it was something that altered his genes and thus was passed down along to Jack.
Well,
or it's something
sort of
completely,
more what I was
completely different with Jack. Maybe it's a Wolf in the Fold situation. With Jack the Ripper jumping through time. It could be all sorts of things.
Well, I think, so it seems like what's going to happen is that the shapeshifters are going to utilize Picard's aromatic cells and to try to like win the thing, but it's going to fuck him up.
Going to wing the thing?
Yeah, it's going to wing the thing. It's going to wing the thing. It's going to fuck up. It's going to fuck up with. They're trying to use Picard's like aromatic cells to like win the situation, and it's going to fuck up, and they'll end up being hoisted by their own Picard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will be right back. We'll be right
back.
Like,
okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, no. We're taking a break. All right, we are back.
We're back. We had to take a long break after that one.
Lots of spankings. Spankings were handed out in the standard circular ritual fashion.
Okay, that's enough.
Because we all agreed that each and every one of us has been naughty in some fashion.
We have been naughty.
Very naughty in the first break. Okay, second break.
Second break, same on the take.
No, none of that. Second break. First I wanted to say another mild aggravation is that the changelings suck at fighting. I really dug the scene with Raffi rocking out on those changelings. was badass, except for the whole like,
Ravi's pretty bad,
why aren't the changelings doing more changeling stuff?
Yeah.
Now, I fully buy that there's some explanation that the why the changelings are not like flapping around and doing octopus shit
they're
and flying around like birds and stuff like that. Like, I get that. And they've already tried to explain it a bit, but I think that's kind of why they made the decision to make them all like huge and hulking. Mm. But again, because now Vadic is dead, we've only ever seen Vadic talking to herself and aliens talking back in language, and it's all very.
I can't tell the difference between them talking and like the ship beeps and boops.
Yeah. Well, it's all very nice. It's all great, and I find it all very entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's just if you kind of look too hard at it, you're like, I don't know what's going on 100%. And
what are they up to?
And so
we still don't know why they're wearing those masks.
Maybe I needed a little hand holding in the exposition to be like to explain more clearly that they're still badass, but they can't do all like the crazy
gamma quadrant
changeling stuff.
Gross face going on.
Yeah,
gross
but
face
not
killer.
A big deal. It's just because I like seeing Raffi kick ass. I like seeing Worf kick ass.
Hell yeah, man.
Check like that whole business with Riker and Deanna on the ship was cute and touching. And like,
and Worf busts in again just at the right moment when you're like,
yeah,
shit's getting fucked up, and you see like his blade all coming
that,
through.
And
like,
I dug that.
That was exactly yeah, that was just like when he bladed that dude on Sneed.
Yeah. Here's my only problem is I know they're messed up, goofy changelings, but they're still changelings. And so, like, the idea of stabbing a changeling, like, I get phasering like on high, a changeling and vaporizing it. I don't necessarily buy into like a changeling getting fucked up with a sword.
Yeah.
He needs to shoot somebody sometimes. He can't just be slashing people with that weird blade he's got.
But it does look cool.
It's totally bad.
And it's extra funny because Worf used to date Deanna.
Yeah,
and
right.
So Riker always has this playful
thing. And he all comes up to her and he's like, listen, I gotta tell you all this stuff.
He's like, I've been thinking about you. Yeah. I've been thinking about you.
Everything you've said has been right this whole time.
You remember that song? It's like, I've been thinking about you.
Yeah. I do.
Got you on my mind.
I do remember that song. Can you sing a few more lines from it?
Who performed that song?
Could you sing a few more lines from it?
I've been thinking about you. Got you on my mind. I've been thinking about... I can't hit that note.
Apparently not.
Oh, fuck.
All right.
That's it's like a South Park episode.
We'll practice that.
I can't
and we'll
hit
come
that
back
note.
To it another time.
I'm always ashamed when I can't hit the note.
You needn't be ashamed. We've talked about this.
No, I mean, don't tell me how I'm supposed to feel.
I'm not telling you. I'm advising.
I don't need
There's a difference.
I don't need your
it's not a command.
I don't need your advision.
I'm just saying if the act of feeling shame is there's nothing shameful about the act of feeling shame.
This guy is trying to be my therapist over here.
But shame is an interactive process because it requires some degree of assumption on how the other people are going to perceive you, thus causing
don't
the shame.
Tell me how to grieve.
I'm not certainly not fucking telling you how to grieve. I'm just saying that you cannot use me and probably not Jesse as an excuse to feel ashamed about your not hitting that.
It's people who like
people respect you.
People who sing and stuff when they hear someone miss a high note, they're always just like, ugh. And I don't actually go home.
You are a respected member of the community.
Okay, first stop this shit right. Stop this shit right now, or you're coddling me. I don't actually go to sleep at night and fucking worry about this shit. God damn it.
Of course not.
Okay, right. But speaking of grief, when Deanna was all like,
okay, I get it.
When she was like,
I'm gonna mention grief no matter what.
When
this guy's the Segway King.
When Riker was the Segway King,
he totally tricked me. He got right underneath there.
And when Riker was like, and you used your Beta Z powers to push yourself inside my head to dull the pain, and when that wasn't enough for you, we both gave up. And then Deanna goes, well, unlike you, I felt the weight of everyone's relief, I felt the weight of everyone's grief.
Grief?
And not just my own. Now, here's the thing. Here's the issue I have with that. It seems like a counselor wouldn't be trying to turn grief into a competition. Because she was basically sold. Riker was like, I'm grieving. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm grieving more, essentially, is what she said.
I have to imagine that it can be very difficult to separate the profession of counselor or psychotherapist with your spouse.
She even said like, I forgot the most important rule of counseling, which was something. But
partly because yes, they're your spouse, and you want to both utilize your education and experience in the counseling arena, but are also a human being. But the other reason, of course, being that one of the purposes of hiring, having a business relationship, whether it's, you know, whether you're paying for it or not, regardless of having a professional relationship with a counselor, is that they don't know you and you don't know them and they don't give a fuck about you.
Right.
And so they're giving you, they don't give a fuck about you beyond you being a human being, and they want to help you.
You're a case.
But yes, that they have that objectivity that they can approach your issues from an outside perspective.
Because normally she's got...
in theory, that's
normally, like with Jack, she has great investigative instincts when she was all like...
Have you ever seen a door?
Like, that's a great question to ask somebody. Has they ever seen a door?
So, I'm glad you got that clip, because, and again, I don't want this to sound like...
I know I took that out of context.
No, no, I don't want this to sound like the quibble cast. This is not It's Got Quibbles.
Have you ever seen a door?
Why? How did she know about the door?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
It actually makes me nervously suspicious of her, even though I'm positive this is not some game. She's not a changeling or anything like that.
It sounded like one of those cold readers. Is that what they're called? The people who pretend to be mind readers or whatever.
Yeah,
but
she has actual like psychic.
Yeah, she's actually, but psychic, she's yeah, actually empathetic, psychic.
She's a flim flam artist. Powers.
But yeah, like saying? Beta Zeds can beta. She's a flim. Picard said flim flam once. I think that's where I might have learned that word.
Flim flam. Flim flam.
Flim flam. It's flim. It's flim. I want to go on an adventure. I want to go on an adventure.
And have flim flam.
I want to go on an adventure and have flim flam.
Yes.
Dater.
Dater. Yes, that's exactly how he says it. That's how Sir Patrick Stewart says Dater.
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 Dear old Patty.
Dater. I hardly knew her.
I feel like I feel like there's an R ended when a word ends with a vowel, an R is added to it when the next word begins with a vowel. See, you made fun of what I said. I should have disarmed it quicker.
Well, it comes from vowel. All right. When they try to make their R sounds into A sounds.
And then, right.
So then it gets the A sounds get reversed into R sounds.
Right. Yeah. And so, it was saying it's like when it ends with a vowel and the next begins with a vowel. Yeah, the R's kind of roll into it. Helps roll the word into each other.
Okay.
This has been linguistics with Dan and Jesse, while Patrick laughs.
The British accents.
Hey, more like linguini.
Oh shit!
Hey, a couple more of linguinis like, over here.
More like ling don't quists.
Okay, all right.
Lingdoctopus.
But no, that's a good point. Like, beta zeds do.
Koala boy.
Beta zeds are just empathic, so they only feel emotions. Okay. They don't actually see specifics like doors and things like that.
Well, it depends.
She gets pretty deep.
Well, she's half beta Z, so she's not even as strong as a normal beta Z, so she wouldn't have
I wouldn't put it in terms of strength, personally.
Oh, god damn it. Okay. She doesn't have the full empathic abilities that a full beta Z has, but it doesn't mean she has added other abilities, so there's no reason.
And she can communicate psychically with, like, her mom and stuff. Yeah. Also,
she says with her mom, she says stuff like,
have you ever seen a door?
Now, in this case, this minor quibble can be eliminated. You can get rid of it. You can kick it to the fucking, kick the can down the road. Mm-hmm. You can kick the can to the street. You can pick whatever fucking phrase you like. If you assume that somebody, either a 7 of 9, mentioned the reference to the door, which she caught that reference, right? So she made a point. She's like, what door? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She could have mentioned that to Deanna. Deanna could have watched a replay of the bridge security logs and been like, hey, this Vatic chick was talking about red door. Have you seen a red door?
Yeah.
I know she didn't say red.
Maybe it got through in the gossip and the grapevine.
She's picking up on a lot of the whatever this thing is putting off. You know, there's a dark presence.
She's picking up what it's putting down.
Putting off.
Is she seeing it, or is she getting the vibe from it? It wasn't super clear.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's just picking it up from around the bend. You know.
On the other hand, I'm super delighted.
Are you
delighted.
Making fun of me, sir?
No, I wasn't actually.
He might have been.
Was I? I don't even know how I would have been.
I don't think so either.
I'm just checking. I'm not seeking
knowledge. I'm a big fan of...
I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan of using...
Little shit.
of utilizing Deanna Troi's capabilities and experience in a meaningful and practical way, which is what they're doing here.
Yeah. So it's the Deanna stuff. I was just having some fun.
No. I'm glad because I think it's an important conversation to have because you know we previously have only seen her briefly. You know, she's briefly in the thing. Now we actually are getting to enjoy her presence on screen, and more importantly, that unlike a lot of TNG, especially early TNG, where her abilities were, you know, not portrayed, not necessarily.
I sense that
the
this
best.
Enemy doesn't feel happy about you right now.
There's like a guy, like they have armed weapons, and they're like, I sense
hostility.
There's deception. I sense deception.
They were able to.
There's always sense and deception.
They were able to do a lot with the character on the show in the end. A lot of that was, they were able to do it. I'm glad they're doing it here. Mm-hmm. Because there's always that risk, and people have been already talking a little bit about how, for example, Beverly Crusher, who is a key player in this season, and has had some important scenes. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, has also like kind of a lot of times has been sort of sitting in the corner being like, or whatever, when it's a bunch of dudes talking, which isn't the most exciting thing.
Well, I have one question this week.
Just one?
Oh, is this a quiz?
This was last week. There was maybe one or two too many questions. But
really?
Is this one of them context? Guess the context dancing on the grave?
Yeah.
How does it go?
Name the context by guessing. Wait. Guess the context by naming. Wait. Name the. Name
this
the,
is your game, right?
Is it name or guess the context? Guess the context by listening to a short portion of the line. Either that or name the context by listening to a short portion of
Guess would make more sense than name, because you don't really name a context, describe a context.
You're right. Guess the context based upon a short...
I will name it Sam.
Sam,
you could
the
perhaps
context.
Name a category of context.
Okay.
Like dungeon adventure.
So...
That would be a broad category of context, but then you would have to provide more detailed description of the context in order to flesh it out.
So I will give a hint from the start, which is it's on topic of what we're kind of going at right now. So there's no way you're going to get this is impossible.
To clarify,
this is impossible.
To clarify by saying on topic, do you mean it's about Star Trek or it's about like
current thread,
which was Deanna Troi or Beverly Crusher?
Think about the last five or 10 minutes
of us talking.
Yes.
I can't. I don't.
Well, that's your fault.
I don't think I want to think of that.
Look, you're not going to get this either way. It's impossible.
All right.
But like,
okay.
So
Mr. Game Designer is like, my game is so tough.
Yeah, I know.
I designed my game to be so tough.
Because that's what
I play tested it on 10 motherfuckers and none of them got it.
Good designers make it impossible.
Like Star Trek, not Star Trek, it's like Super Mario 2, the Japanese version. It's the Japanese Super Mario 2.
Right, that was, apparently it was a good game, it was just too hard.
I've played it, it is a good game, it's really fucking hard.
It is. We called it the Lost Levels. Actually, Super Mario 2, the American version, was Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah. They took some other video game.
It was a completely different
put Mario characters in it,
and
they were like, Mario goes on a fucking mushroom trip.
Yeah.
And he goes insane. He goes to insane dreamland.
It's kind of awesome.
It is awesome.
Oh, it's totally
crazy.
Badass.
Yeah. I don't like the music, and a lot of the characters make me uncomfortable, but it's a good game.
Oh, I like the music.
I don't like the guy who spits out eggs.
Oh yeah, cheap or something. When you pause it, I like how it just plays the bass line. If you pause it during the game, it just plays the bass line. It's like
it's really great.
What's the clue to this business? This business, this hyper specific business that has to do with
hyperspace.
Okay,
few minutes of the show.
Okay, so let's listen to this.
Wait again.
Dr. Phlox.
Data.
Does sound like Data. It's think about what we talked about in the last 10 minutes. Who do you think that is?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm trying to come up with even a joke answer. I'm fascinated.
Jesse?
Riker?
Yes.
Is it the inappropriate?
No. This is impossible. This is a ridiculous game. No. Although it is
I don't know what those
it is something that Riker finally admitted that he wasn't very good at after all the internet criticizing him on
the
it.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Pizza?
Yeah. So check it out.
Good in bed, bad at pizza.
So just like me.
Wait, what? Is that fully in context?
Yeah.
Did you make that sound?
No, I didn't. It would be great if I inserted it in there and tried to pass it off.
I think that's what you did.
No, I swear I didn't. So I'll play the sound. Now here's what in full context.
Good in bed, bad at pizza. So just like me.
What? I don't remember that. That's not the episode I watched.
I guess because it's because I ruined it for you because I played that one sound by itself over and over again. You know when you say a word like toboggan.
Over,
it loses all meaning. So I played that sound over and over again. So you're no longer able to blend it with the rest of the sentence. It's so isolated in your head. There's probably a great study on the human brain sitting in there, how to ruin sound for people.
Well, I'm sure there's 100. I've had that happen to me. Like, for example, many years ago in college, this is eons ago.
Did you go to college to get more knowledge or did you go to Jupiter to get more stupider?
I happen to have done both.
Wow. This
simultaneously parallel.
Wow.
I went to Jupiter.
But when I was back in college, I made the error or the system tone on my PC, on my micro, Gateway 2000 computer.
I did something similar.
And I made that the error sound, the line from Spaceballs where the Dark Helmet says that he's surrounded by assholes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's like, I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes. And so there's actually a couple lines from that movie that like I used as system sounds and a couple lines from Pulp Fiction. But that one I remember in particular. And to this day, if I'm watching Spaceballs, that clip sounds different to my ears.
Yeah, right.
It has a different... Timbre.
Good and bad, bad at pizza.
Jeffrey Tambor.
I had Homer Simpson going dope instead of that chimey like ding ding
exasperated grunt.
I had like dope. I had a clip from the Adam Sandler's first like comedy album, which Conan O'Brien was on.
Nighttime is the right time.
No, it was a sketch where he was playing baseball and someone hits him in the neck with a baseball. And it's like boom, and he's like, "Oh my neck!" Wow, that's pretty.
I mean, truly, more power to him. I think it's great.
I think I remember that.
The career that Adam Sandler has had and the amount of laughs that he's provided for myself and other people is great, even though so much of it is so dumb.
Yeah, and it's true. But I will say that first comedy album holds a special place. I think it was one of those things that came at a certain part of it.
It's a double entendre.
Not even. I mean,
ejaculation.
It's synonyms.
I don't want to limit it to ejaculation.
I was using synonyms. No, it's not. What's two different
words? Nutmeg.
What is it? Two different words that mean the same thing. What is that called? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Two different words.
Wait, that's a cinnamon. That's a synonym. No, I'm sorry. I meant one word that means two different. That's just a word.
Wait a minute.
That's called a polyglot.
Bang, 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 bang.
Doesn't matter. Okay. I'm saying that that album came at a
like
certain...
I like that you're not looking up that word, but you had to look up like who Dean Stockwell played on Enterprise. Yeah. Like, on a, like two episodes.
Yeah, I couldn't let that one go. I immediately forget it, too. So that album just came at a certain point in my life. It always has a place in my heart, that first Adam Sandler comedy album, which, right on, you know, man. Is probably kind of like... Probably doesn't age too well at this point, but
do you think Adam Sandler would be good with a role on Star Trek Picard like this season? Which character would you have had him play?
Wasn't he supposed to be an Inglorious Bastards?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the question I asked though.
Star Trek. Who would he play in Star Trek? Who
would he play in this season of Star Trek Picard?
Like a character that we don't have yet?
Either an additional character or one of the existing characters.
I don't know. Someone who's like...
He could have been the captain.
Someone who...
Oh, that's right.
No.
He's like, no, you can't fly my ship. Yes, that's who... Captain Shaw. I think Adam Sandler is Captain Liam Shaw.
Speaking of Shaw, this is a...
I'm a huge fan of Todd Stashwick. But,
oh,
you know,
totally.
This is a
give Adam Sandler the chance.
This is a classic Shaw delivery in this episode.
You are a Starfleet officer.
He's always so breathy when he like says things. That's
you like it, don't you?
Could you imagine Adam Sandler saying that? Like, I can't even do it. You're a Starfleet officer. Do it.
Oh, that made me dizzy. Okay. I'm doing that whole like, woo, my brain's a little crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Good. Yes. Okay.
What do you think about
Yintaro?
Yintaru.
Oh, yes. The new word.
I should have taught you a different word.
Yeah. Deanna was all like, Jesus Christ, yeah. This guy with the Imzadi.
It is funny because Riker does say Imzadi all the time, so it's kind
of
funny that...
I like that they made fun of it because...
He does like in later Star Trek.
It's sort of like you imagine the person, like the big white guy who goes to like some foreign land and gets a wife and just picks one word from
Give
her culture and be like,
ah,
I'm just going to say this word all the time.
Give me
like,
another chimichanga.
Like, cool it, brother. Either learn a few more words or just cut it out.
I'd like a quesadilla.
So she even said it first.
Yintaru?
And he spakes it out. He spakes it out.
Look, there's times where legitimately you can get annoyed at me, but there's sometimes you say something that's kind of like, come on. It's
I think like you're too amused by somebody just like stumbling over their words.
I get amused at myself stumbling
it's
over
like,
my words too.
It's like the lowest form of humor, I think.
No, puns are the lowest form of
humor. No, I think it's even lower than
that. Laughing at somebody pronouncing a word is like three steps above a pun. And I love puns.
Puns are great.
I think puns
man.
Are
love
funny.
Puns.
I love puns. I just don't think it's
but
that.
But legally, they're down low,
I just don't
down
think
with clowning.
It's your pun.
I just don't think it's that much humor to be derived from somebody mispronouncing a word unless they say something really silly.
No, look, somebody mispronouncing a word, absolutely correct. Nothing funny about it at all. Somebody who's like,
because that's what I did. I went, you mispronounce words all the time.
I know, and I encourage you to point it out and giggle and laugh and chortle.
I say helicopter.
Well, that's rub your belly, cool. Rub your belly, and be like, ah, Patrick is so stupid.
So Deanna pronounces it this way,
Yintaru,
and Riker says it right after, and he goes,
Yintaru.
Okay.
Yintaru. Yeah. Yintaru.
Yeah.
Yintaru.
Burrito. It's because he's a himbo.
Mm.
I think that's the popular term these days.
He is.
I want to give you one final dose of the old Riker charm.
And then right after that.
Gross. Was he making a sex joke there? Yeah, I didn't think about it until just now, until I heard the delivery where he's all like.
So he says.
I want to give you one final dose of the old Riker charm.
But then, not 5 minutes later, about Picard, he goes.
Right now, he's set a classic Captain Picard trap.
It's like some, like it's like yeah, the old Riker charm, a classic Picard trap. Yeah. You know, it's
so
all, Riker's so like smarmy.
That joke would have worked better. Like now, look, it's a modern show. They're not going to do this level of camp. Back in the day, that the punchline to the joke. Because that's what it was. It was a joke that Riker's like, yeah, Picard's got it all figured out.
Oh, well, yeah, that was another part.
And then it cuts to Vadic in control of the ship. But back in the old days, it would be like Picard all chained up on a wall,
right,
all naked, being oh, man.
Right. I wasn't commenting on that, but yes, I was thinking that about that as well in the episode. It's just funny because Riker was saying things all silly and smarmy.
Silly Billy from Alaska.
But it was very obvious they were setting that joke up to be like, no, they don't have it under control. But yeah, you're right. They didn't stuff it down our gullets.
Yeah, it's the modern way to do it.
It's the modern way.
Not only nothing wrong to do with it with doing it that way. That's a great way to. It's a great way to do things.
Jean-Luc Picard has a son. Picard has a son.
Okay, that was an interlude.
You're just having some fun there.
just passing time, so there's no dead air. Oh, there was one. So there was a thread. I captured an entire thread in about.
That makes me think of the TNG episode Tapestry.
But it's not.
Because tapestries are made up of threads.
This
has been your Star Trek connection.
Woven. They're woven.
This week's Star Trek connection.
There were three.
Tapestry.
There were three sets of lines that all sort of gave a beginning, middle, and end. And I have three files. One's 11 seconds, one 8 seconds, one 4 seconds. So here's the first one.
Okay.
This is the beginning when Vadic's all talking.
How many seconds?
Right.
Let's stop.
Sorry.
11 seconds.
I'm sorry. I just want to. No, just this clip is how many seconds?
11 seconds.
11 seconds. Got it.
Let's start by taking their eyes now. Take their ears. Take the very road ahead of them.
So that's the beginning. The middle is 8 seconds.
You are now without sight, without sound, without freedom of movement.
Oh, that's like the Empire Strikes Back. It's like, oh no, they did the shit. Now here's the resolution is 4 seconds.
Vadic has cut off our vision. But I can still see.
Huh? Huh? She was like, I'm going to fuck you up. She's like, I fucked you up. And he's like, she fucked us up, but I'm still good.
No.
Aren't I smart? pieced those together from different parts of the episode.
No, it was really good.
Don't you think I'm good, Jesse?
Yes.
Jesse, what do you think about my abilities?
I think they are good abilities.
Yes, and I would.
You are an able fellow.
Can I call you tonight at like 4 a.m. to just double check that you really meant it?
I might not be awake.
Well, can you wake up for me?
I doubt it.
Oh.
I don't. I'm not easily awoken.
Oh. So
awoken,
Dan.
Awoken.
I suspect Jesse agrees with me that our minimal reaction to the tapes that you played and the argument that you made was because we were indeed so blown away with.
Mm-hmm. That's what I knew it.
It was an excellent observation. We had nothing to say. Humorous. Yeah. It was such a serious point that we had nothing humorous to say about it. As a gag, just in the context of an entertaining podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was such a thoroughly formed theory.
Is it time for a break?
It was such a thoroughly formed theory. We had nothing to add.
It was thoroughly formed.
From that aspect.
Unlike my feces.
It was a thoroughly formed theory.
My bowel movements haven't been thoroughly formed lately.
Thoroughly formed.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Dan. That is a good indicator that it is time to take a break.
You need to drink more water.
We'll do so right now, and when we get back, we'll wrap up our discussion with some of the best bits.
The best bits of
Star Trek Picard Season 3, Episode 8, Surrender.
That's my favorite book.
Be right back. The Data stuff, right? We got to talk about the Data stuff, the Data lore stuff.
I'm here, Geordi.
I thought this was the strongest part of the episode and one of the strongest parts of the whole season. And even though we've only known of the existence of this Data lore,
one of the strongest parts of Star Trek.
Yeah, creature. it was, we've only been introduced to him a few episodes ago. Already we are heavily invested in this new version of Data. And I thought it was a very, just at the highest level, just a very clever way to, in a sci-fi fashion, reintroduce the character of Data, but with enough changes due to the mechanism of his reintroduction, that he can play as a new character while still being a holdover from the older character.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and for practical reasons, he's now being portrayed by an old man, but you can easily get by it because, the way they got there, I thought
everybody else is old too.
I thought it was a very well executed and very surprising and awesome sci-fi slash philosophical mechanism.
Yeah,
this battle between lore and Data, and I was already in for it when Data was doing the whole, like, when he was given like the Yar statue hologram thing and all that.
Yeah, I figured that was gonna have some kind of effect, the fact that he was just giving the,
Well, he did. Yeah, so Data did a lore mind flip because Data cared about memories and lore only cared about trophies, and then Data turned his own memories into trophies and lore took them, thus meaning Data won. I thought that was right, clever. Yeah. That was tricky.
It was surprising and brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the thing though is you know, he's giving over, you know, at first lore is taking these memories out of his hand, and then Data starts switching to actively giving him the memory.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're like, man, this is fucked up. Now in the back of your head, you're like, well, they're not going to fucking kill Data. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some solution. And your brain is coming up with, like, what are the various sci-fi solutions? And it's going to be like, oh, Data's going to gather some strength or something, or Geordi's going to flip a switch or
something. Before you mention this, it's important to mention that Lore had the red dots in the brain and Data had the blue dots.
Yes, and that made it very easy. Yeah. As well as Geordi just narrating. And Picard apparently looking at Data's face saying, like, this looks like surrender. It's like, you're just looking at a readout. But anyway.
Yeah.
You can't infer the internal state of this person's mind by looking at some red and blue dots.
Mm-hmm.
Although
there's more red dots than blue dots.
To be fair, he did infer correctly, but that was for the purpose of drama.
Plus the bleeps and the sweeps and the creeps.
Yes, indeed. what you're doing is you're like, okay, they're gonna resolve this Data thing in some way. Are they gonna kill him? Probably not. How is it going to happen? And then to have such an elegant and philosophically interesting solution as this, I am made up of my memories, so by giving them to you, I'm basically taking you over. It was sweet. It was an interesting thing to think about.
Like it was totally sweet.
It was totally sweet in both the California Surfer you know, mode of the word, and sweet as in, you know, makes your belly feel warm and snuggly.
It was good Star Trek.
But I will say, every time I rewatch this
episode.
When you
talk about your belly, you're talking about poop being made.
No, not necessarily.
That's what bellies do.
Okay. Yeah.
When you're talking about food, that's what bellies do.
Bellies get yummy.
Yeah, but you know, in literature and stuff,
I know, but I'm just pointing. I know, but I'm pointing out that the reality of the situation.
Your belly gets all yummy.
A sated belly is
such some good food. And it feels
a sated belly is such a primal thing that it is become a metaphor for feeling satisfied.
Yeah,
no, I'm not
shit.
Explaining this to you. I'm just making my point. I know.
And
you
I'm just pointing out. I'm just pointing out that it's like the reality of that situation is we're talking about poop being made.
And I 100% agree with you there. I'm actually not arguing with you.
It's always poop with you.
I do agree with and think
I've been
it's
a little,
funny.
I've been a little poop heavy this episode. Yeah.
Do you have to poop?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Coprocentric.
Maybe that's the problem.
We need to be more comfortable about talking about poop because it's like a serious part of our life.
Well, that's why the Germans have it right. The Germans have
I think you've talked about
the toilets with the poop shelf.
You've talked about this before.
On the podcast?
I'm pretty sure. You talked about
they call it a pooping shelf.
You've
I don't know what the
German
term is.
You talked about it off and on the pooping shelf. The
pooping shelf.
Guten pooping shelf.
Yes. Just look up. Anyone can do it.
Pooping shelf.
It's a fairly safe.
Everyone can poop.
It's a it's a fairly safe term. If you Google
not everyone.
German poop shelf. I know it doesn't. Look. I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't sound like a safe.
Like a
safe search, but it is. I swear to God, if you type in German poop shelf. Now, the caveat there is I would not necessarily do an image search, at least not initially.
Just,
I would do
read about
regular old web search for a German poop shelf, and then you will find these toilets that have a poop shelf for the purpose of examining one's stool to ensure one's health.
Milana's on it.
Yes, that's the theory behind it.
She'll get back to us.
So, yes, I agree poop is important. I also agree that metaphors are important.
So we're talking about bellies being sated because of some stuff that happened.
Because you interrupted what was, in all likelihood, a fairly minor point about the resolution to this data lore story. And it's truly... It seems the resolution to the full data lore arc that started back in the data lore.
Yeah, they're all together now as one. So at the mark 35 minutes and 25 seconds in the Paramount Plus, lore gives this really devilish look after Data talks about Spot. Data talks about Spot, and the room turns a different color, and Lore gives this fucking crazy, or Brent Spiner makes this awesome face as Lore, and it looks like the devil or something, whatever the devil might be, and that's after that, for context, after that, Geordi's like, we lost him, so this is like right before, but everything turns red. I've actually paused it and looked at it for like a minute, because like Brent Spiner was making this fucked
it's
up
great.
Face.
Yeah. It's a very well acted scene, and what I was trying to say before, the point that was curtailed.
My fault.
No. Justifiably, no doubt.
No.
Justifiably curtailed. Was that every time I watched this episode and got to the Spot part, that's like when like the tears started. I was like, I just see Spot. I'm like, no, Spot.
Spot's dead already.
Like, don't fuck with the memory of a dead cat.
Yeah, I know.
But all three of us here are like cat people, so we have a particular,
And like Data,
cats people.
Data learned about how to love from Spot.
Yes.
That makes me want to
It just makes you cry more and
makes
more and
me
more. But,
fall.
Like just, oh, but just seeing Spot appear, I was like, meow, no.
Yeah. It makes me want to like melt and then catch on fire or something. Like I'm just like, Spot. And that's so cute. And so cute. Oh, for cute.
Oh, for cute.
So Data loves his kitty cat. Data died, as we know, previously. But
Data
how,
died.
And I'm sure this question has been asked before and since, or discussed, this concept of Data dying as a robot. Isn't that just being deactivated? But, I mean, I don't know. We don't really need to go back to that. You know, it's just kind of weird to think he didn't die. He came back. He's not dead. His whole deal was like, I want to die. That's part of life. But she didn't die. He got deactivated. Now he can die.
I think another interesting... aspect of this resolution is that they did cover so many bases, some of them more campy, like his being in an older positronic body, you know, whatever replicant thing. We know why they did that, but that's still whatever. They made a fun excuse for it. But they also kind of covered the fact that, like, yes, Data is fundamentally, he's portrayed as being an artificial life form, largely computer based. He's following the theory that you can have this sort of sentience in a substrate of whatever, silicon, positronic matrix, whatever made up word you want to call it.
Before I'm positronic.
It's still fundamentally this idea that you're just like, okay, he is just a collection of information and how that information interacts. And in theory, you can replicate that. And we've already demonstrated in Picard that you can do that with a human too, because that's what they did with Picard. They copied his brain, his neural patterns, into a new form of brain. Something
that before you're positronic.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, indeed. So
little ship.
So by virtue of that fact, we can have our cake and eat it too, to employ.
I always do.
An aggressively cliched cliche. In that.
Yintaru.
This means a very large baby. In that, because Data is effectively, you can oversimplify and say you can copy and paste this computer program, you can run that computer program forward and have different endings, each that accomplish something different that the character wants to accomplish. And in this case, in Picard season one, at the end of that season, that one version of Data that was reconstituted from the little bits and pieces, whatever, from that plot, he is able to die and disappear, as in he's destroyed. There's nothing left of that copy. That copy
he was deactivated.
Gone. No, he was completely eaten apart,
erased,
like he in was that
eradicated.
Yeah, I mean, you can however you want to put it.
I know
that was
it's
the implication.
I know it's a whole philosophical question of he wasn't deactivated because he's human enough to be called dead, right? That's well, a whole. No, that's
he
a
was
whole
already,
situation.
It was already no, a hologram. No, I mean,
in season one, they were more specific than that. It wasn't just turning the robot off.
No,
and,
I know
and putting the robot on
no,
a shelf.
Well, what I'm saying
the
is
the mind was erased.
That's precisely what I just
he
said.
He was a hologram.
What was he?
Okay, I guess
hologram?
I was just
hologram.
No, I guess I was just confused because me, like, deactivated means turned off versus annihilated means
okay.
You've erased.
No, you were actually. I take it back. You were making
and
a slightly.
And you've hammered onto the hard drive.
You made a slightly different point. I was going. I guess I was going at like, well, he's not. He's more human than he's like. The philosophical difference between being deactivated as a computer versus dead as a human and Data's trying to be human.
But what they did that was so great in this episode was, first of all...
But you wouldn't say a robot died ever, even if you, like, shoved it...
No, if you thought it was alive, you might, but that's a separate discussion. That's like a more of a, like...
Like plants. Plants are alive.
Yeah, you might say, like, oh, she died.
Some people think plants aren't alive.
Oh.
Yes, no, that is true. Some people, for some reason, don't think plants are alive.
Yeah.
But Data was presented when he woke up. He was like, wait, I thought I crashed into the scimitar or whatever. You know, like he was thinking back 20 years ago, right? So that's the copy we're playing with now. And this copy, after being merged with Lore, is straight up like, oh yeah, no, it's awesome that other version of me got to totally die and shit. Good for him. I don't want to do that. I'm having a great time. I'm going to get a new cat.
I have a neck pain.
I'm going to test out being fully functional with my Lore side. You know, Data's going to go have some fun.
Well, that
I'm a senior citizen positronic jiggity jank.
That exactly.
My neck goes crickety.
So this
that's interesting.
Talking about him being dead and not really coming back, but coming back, like all the stuff you just said. Picard, at one point, he goes, like, the last time we spoke, you wished to experience death. As happy as I am that you're here, I hope that we haven't betrayed that wish. And he's like, no, sir. To me, I know what they're getting at, but that line seems a little bit potentially problematic for Picard to say, like, you wanted to die and we took that from you. And
I have no problem with that.
I don't specifically have a problem with it, but I can see how some people might look at that line and say, a way to interpret it is Data chose to die, which is a form of, you could say it's suicide, and then like Picard's like, we want to respect your wishes and let you kill yourself. But I know that's not what it's saying, and I'm not saying I'm offended, but I can see how someone might be like that.
No, I think it's a good point.
It's like, how much do I want to express a point without taking any of the responsibility for it? It's like, I don't think this.
But someone could think that.
I do think it's a good observation. It's a good thing to think about. To my mind, they sort of address that immediately because it's set up as Data having the opportunity to be like, yeah, that's cool that bro wanted to kill himself, but I'm good to go.
Yeah, but it's still Picard just like trying to. I mean, it's
but Data was making Data was saying like that's a different version of me, and again, it's
but it's still the question of like. Is it like we want to respect the fact that you wanted to kill yourself?
Yeah, yes, but
that doesn't change that.
Yeah, and I think that's fine because I personally would be perfectly happy to support somebody's right to want to kill themselves in the context of being like trapped in some sort of mind cube, digital mind hell.
Yes, yes. But there are situations where that's a little bit more.
Yeah,
like,
but where I would push back is just on the idea that although it's tempting, because this is in a classic sci-fi show format and we are supposed to it is supposed to help us like reflect on our own lives and philosophies, I would also say that it gets a little tricky when you start removing when you're like, yes, this is a copy of a robot and
who's human though.
Yes, but it's like the fundamentals are so different than the human experience that it makes it difficult, I think, to compare and contrast, like to get any definite lessons. I'm just saying that I think the philosophical argument for how you deal with Data may very well be entirely different than how would you would deal with a regular old human or Klingon or whatever.
When we all can live on the cloud, we're essentially making copies of our consciousness. And
but we're not doing that yet. When we're doing that, I agree. Then it becomes very interesting. Yeah. And for that, you can go watch movies like The Prestige.
The Prestige.
And other movies that have dealt with this topic before.
Like but Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
The Prestige.
Not Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. Yeah, you can make fun of that pronunciation. So speaking of death, Picard's like, you raise to Geordi's like, you raise the partition and Data erases Lore, then takes control of the ship. And then Geordi's like, Data's ethical...
His brain is gone.
That's what happened when all the lights turned red.
Yeah, totally. So Geordi was like, Data's ethical subroutines don't permit him to take a life of any kind. Now, I don't know about you.
Oh, no.
But I'm sure Data has killed...
I know about you.
Dan's got his hands on his hips.
I do.
He's making a point.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure Data has killed before.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yes, that's good. I like that one. I didn't laugh out loud at it, but that's not because I didn't like it.
You liked it better than the hoisted by my own Picard joke.
No, I liked that joke, but I was sort of aggravated by it at the same time.
Yeah, you were tired. That was the joke that made you tired. But no, in all seriousness, Data must have killed some people in Star Trek before. I can't name anything, but
I'm sure Data's kicking ass left.
So his ethical subroutines do permit him to take a life, but maybe it's execution style is what Geordi.
Well, he's not Batman. I don't think. Mm-hmm. Maybe Geordi.
That's what I mean. It's like he's not allowed. He's not going to execute someone, but in the heat of battle, not in the heat of the night.
Well, and one of the most famous scenes in TNG. I mean, there's perhaps a subjective point. I must admit, I haven't done any surveys or taken statistics on this, but I think certainly a memorable scene from Star Trek: The Next Generation is from the episode "The Most Toys" when Kivas Faho, a notorious creepy, monstrous collector guy, gets a hold of Data, and Data does not like being held captive by this dude. They have all sorts of interesting philosophical debates and arguments, but this guy is so aggravating and fucked up that at the end, right before Data is about to get rescued, Data's totally like shoots the guy. He's like he ends up not killing the guy because he gets beamed away, but like Data totally was like gonna kill that motherfucker. That's always been a very interesting scene because it's like, that guy got so under Data's skin that even like pre-emotion ship and everything, Data was like ready to fucking off that motherfucker.
Yeah.
He had developed some algorithm in his mind that justified the use of violence in this case.
Well, so on the subject of Data, slightly on a tangent, I felt that they took the show in an interesting direction. I'm not sure I agree with it, but this is something Jack was saying about Data. And I don't know. Tell me what you think about this direction they took this episode. Okay, just hold on a second.
We need your robot friend to talk to the ship, access its systems, and override Valix Bridge Command.
Hey there, have you heard about my robot friend? He's metal and small and doesn't judge me at all.
robot friend.
Wow, dude.
I like
that. I mean,
that.
It's like a musical they're going for now in Star Trek. I don't know.
What
I mean,
like little bits. Robot friend.
Yeah.
Little bits.
What'd you say, Jesse?
Play that again.
We need your robot friend to talk to the ship.
Wait a second. Let me start over. Hold on.
Oh, great. Yeah, start it all the way over.
This is Star Trek's doing a weird thing. I don't understand
Star
it.
Star Trek's weird. It's totally weird.
We need your robot friend to talk to the ship, access its systems, and override Valix Bridge Command.
Hey there, have you heard about my robot friend? He's metal and small and doesn't judge me at all.
He's metal
and
small.
He's a cyberwire bundle of joy. My robot friend.
My cyberwired bundle of joy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's good. I like that they're being experimental.
I like that you keep playing these clips twice in a row.
Like a jack in the box, ready to pop, pop, pop.
Pop, pop, pop.
Jesse asked me to play it a second time.
No,
so.
It's fine. It's fine.
No, I wasn't fucking freaking out. When you do that, it makes me freak out.
Okay, that's okay.
I was just pointing out that Jesse asked me to play it a second time is all I was doing.
I wanted to hear it again.
Well.
Thank you, Jesse.
Well negotiated. We negotiated that.
I only freak out when people tell me to calm down.
Speaking of calming down.
Lore's matrix is growing.
Speaking of calming down, we do need to think about closing up shop this evening. So what, if any, odds and ends or other little bits and pieces of this episode did you want to chat about? Did you want to chat about the dead people in the hallway?
Some Sydney techno babble.
We'd need an asynchronous AI matrix capable of computational speeds beyond 90 trillion operations a second.
We have just the fella.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of awesome.
And it was awesome how quickly Data, like, it was no time at all. Yeah. It was like Data got his wits together and he's like, all right, yeah, here we go.
When Seven was all like,
get off my bridge.
Yeah.
That's from something.
Huh? Yeah, it's from Air Force One.
Yeah. Yeah, get off my plane.
Get off my plane.
And this is something that, okay, there was a clip.
I'm vetoing you.
That was the draft script, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's much more clever, but it just didn't land, so to speak. They've been doing this thing occasionally. They did it with Worf's voice. They did it with, I think it was Raffi's or someone else's voice. I played it a couple weeks ago. I forgot why I played it, but the reason I played it was they're doing this Optimus Prime thing with people's voice, and I don't know if you can hear it, but I feel like they did it with Seven.
Get off my bridge.
I don't know. It's subtle. Nah. It's subtle, and I think if you hear it in context in the show, there's this like robot thing going on in her voice. I don't know. Maybe it's just,
I could see it.
Speaking of Worf, Worf feels like, I love Worf. He feels like a bit of a MacGuffin in a way. I mean, would you guys agree with that assessment that Worf is a MacGuffin?
I withhold an assessment before you provide additional either textual or logic evidence.
So Worf was the reason that Riker was put on the ship with to meet up with Troy. It was because of Worf and Raffi. But Worf, keeping in mind that Raffi was in trouble, Worf came up and stabbed Sneed in the back. Saved her. He was the magic box that saved her. He was also the magic box that provided names for who to go to next along the way. He was always providing the names of who to go to next.
He had a bunch of names.
He saved Riker and, you know, Deanna. He was also the reason Data came to the ship, too. You could say, once again, that's Worf and Raffi, but Worf also saved Raffi. I think, like, Worf kind of pops in.
He's running the show. Yeah.
Didn't Worf kind of pop into Insurrection? This is kind of a tangent, but he did a pop. So he does. Because
he
like,
was doing Deep Space Nine, so they had to keep giving him reasons, excuses for showing up in the movie.
So for this reason, I say it's like he kind of pops in to like make a plot.
He also popped into First Contact.
I guess you could argue that every character does that to some extent in all stories, but I don't know. Worf seems to kind of like be this sort of inexplicable, like, where'd he come from? He just appeared and stabbed someone, you know?
It's a tricky line because on the one hand, you could say maybe it's a little MacGuffin-y. On the other hand, you could say, well, Worf's character affords him a skill set and a tool set, both from the in-universe character perspective and from the writer perspective, that he can do a lot of things for you. It's believable for Worf to go around murdering people, mm-hmm. coming out of the shadows.
They got them opening doors.
Saving lives at the last second, flying ships around, being connected to information people. Like, all of that makes sense for Worf mm-hmm. in a way that it wouldn't necessarily make as much sense for some of the other characters.
He also had, two funny Worf lines. There was...
One's personal space is a right.
That was one. And then there's this one.
I have slaughtered countless enemies over the years and considered sending their heads to all of you.
What a sweetie.
But I was advised that that was passive-aggressive.
Now, the question there is... Yes, it was a very funny line. The question there is was he advised it was passive-aggressive... by a Klingon
yeah, right.
person, counselor or something like that.
Because, counselors.
No, because his whole kick this season is to, like, he's found, like, some kind of... Like,
yes, but my point is this, is that if you are sending these severed heads of enemies to people as trophies or whatever...
It would seem like a nice thing to
do.
You're
a Klingon.
First of all, it does seem like a nice
maybe
thing to do.
Maybe he's bragging and that's why it's passive-aggressive or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Humble brag.
Humble brag,
yeah. Okay.
Or Klingon humble brag.
It's just like, he's like, here's a present for you. I fucked shit up. What have you done?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Like, even if you'd say it's not passive-aggressive, that would just be aggressive because you're sending a severed
aggressive,
head.
Aggressive-aggressive, yeah.
But maybe it's a microaggression. It's a Klingon microaggression, which is just an aggression for people.
Yeah, yes, that would work because I was going to say, from the Klingon context, yes, maybe it's passive aggressive. I think for in most other contexts, it's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm a Worf guy. I like Worf. Worf, who doesn't like Worf? Worf's a good guy. Worf's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He is. He is universally acceptable.
I've got two sound clips. I don't have to play both of them because they're both 20 seconds. How about I play the sword fight, the Raffi sword fight sound?
You're digging the sound. Well, why don't you give us the option? What is the other option?
Well, I think
or do you think that the audience would be dismayed to hear only one of the options if you list them both? And then so some proportion of the audience will be disappointed that they don't get to hear.
Well, I've already
version.
Mentioned this. How about I play them both under the caveat that I only play them one apiece and not twice in a row?
We'll see. All right.
So this is the Raffi sword fight. Which, you know, trimmed to make it work, if it will play, which it's not playing.
The hell are you doing?
So now here's the Worf rescue. So okay. This works because we're Worf and Raffi, you know? They're two peas in a pod. So here's the Worf rescue.
Don't touch her. Worf!
So there you go. Some sounds. Nothing really to say. Just some sounds.
The show consistently has very good sounds.
It's just
lots of gloops and glops.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting
singing
sounds.
Blade noises.
I can see how some people might like remember the first episode. I think Patrick, you were talking about how
that's
you
did me.
The Space Marine reload the electro
guns.
Oh, I
did not like that.
So you could argue that some of these space sounds are a little Space Marine-y, but but the sounds are. I think the sounds are fun. I like the sounds.
I think it's all fun.
Sounds are fun.
I do.
But actually, I do agree with you though. The reloading the space gun. That was silly. That was silly.
You don't need to reload space guns.
Yeah, right.
That's what you're saying.
Right. All you have to do is go.
I do
pop,
wish.
Pop, pop.
I do wish, like many people on the internet.
Are you going to go pop, pop, pop?
I wish that. Pop, pop. I wish that people. That the goo people, that the changelings, I wish we got to see more changeling fighting.
Yes, I agree.
Again, I know they've set up some context where it's like, okay, maybe they can't do the normal changeling stuff, but that's too bad because watching changelings kick ass is fun. It was fun back on Deep Space Nine days with like super early ridiculous TV level CGI.
Yeah, I know, it's still awesome.
And they still did like crazy whipping out goo and turning into fucking birds
again and again
turning
and again.
Into a mouse or some shit mm-hmm. and doing some crazy like mouse karate or some shit.
Mouse karate.
karate.
You do all this awesome shit.
Mouse karate.
You turn into a scary ant monster. I mean, you have these
turn into bird, fly away, that kind of shit.
The concept of being a changeling, they play it for the horror of not knowing whether your loved ones or your leaders.
That's a good point.
That's the level of fear they're going for, which is great, but it's also fun to see, like, you turn into, like, the scary Targ monster or whatever, you know. Anyway, they're not doing that. That's too bad.
Toby Tar. Yeah.
The other thing that's been brought up on the internet.
Yeah, they could have had some really good, cool fight scenes with shapeshifters.
The other thing that's been brought up on the internet is there's all these references to Deep Space Nine with the changelings and the Dominion War and just a generic. A lot of this plot is driven by events that took place during the run of Deep Space Nine, yet we still, save for Worf, don't have any DS9 characters show up. You don't have Kira showing up in some intelligence capacity. You don't have Dr. Bashir showing up because he had, you know, something to do with saving the changelings with the disease and stuff like that. Like, still a couple episodes to go, so maybe they'll have a cameo, but a lot of people have noted that it's something almost slightly, like, aggravating about, like, you're like a Deep Space Nine fan. You're excited to see Deep Space Nine be important to some of the other franchises, but not getting any direct references. Right. Like, they didn't even, like, fly to Deep Space Nine to dock for a bit.
They didn't even play the music.
Yeah, no Deep Space Nine music.
So Seven finally gets back at Shaw because she's finally, he keeps calling her Hanson, and she's finally like,
"My name is Seven of Nine."
And that was supposed to, I felt like that was supposed to be a big, like, boom moment, but it could have hit a little harder, I thought. Because I mean, I understood they were under duress. They were like,
harder.
But she was like, "My name is Seven of Nine, motherfucker." She's been waiting to say that. And like,
he's all like, he kept calling, fucking die.
And he kept calling her Hanson after that anyway.
Yeah.
But later, after all the shit happened and they win and it's all happy. And then, you know, they're all happy with each other, you know, and then, she gives the ship back to Shaw, and then he goes,
Station.
That is a reference to Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the superior of the two Bill and Ted movies.
I respect that opinion. I wouldn't say I necessarily agree that it's superior, but I totally can see why one
Bill
would
and Ted's
that.
Excellent Adventure is an excellent film and has excellent. A great, great story, a great, great setup, all that. The acting is great, etc. But in the second one, they go to heaven and they talk to God, and then they deal with that station monster.
That station shit was so weird.
It's the most fucked up shit I've ever seen in my life. There's a sort of like watching Labyrinth or some shit.
There's the scene where they combine into one giant version. There's a YouTube clip and it's titled "Station and Station Combine to Create Station." That's a great title.
We highly advise any fans of this podcast to go check that out and be disturbed on your own time.
They play like chess with death.
Yes.
Yeah.
William Sadler, who played Sloan in Deep Space Nine in Section 31.
He was in
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption, yeah. He was in a lot of stuff. He's really good. There's an inconsistent proof of people. When Geordi and Picard and company meet up, and Picard's like, "You drank some wine and you said it sucked." And Geordi's like, "I went to your place and drank some wine." And Picard is like, "Your wine sucked and you said it sucked because you don't drink."
Pretty much got it.
Yeah, right. And so
you're missing some of the key details.
Right. But the point being is that they had to do the thing where they see what the person knows.
Yeah, the dude did the bad did, yeah.
But when Worf and Raffi did it,
yeah, right.
Worf was like, "Raffiella," and she's like, "Don't worry, it's still me." And Worf's like, "All clear." It's just like, I don't know if that was like supposed to represent their relationship or if the writers were like, "They get it. We don't need to play this game again." Which either way, I respect. But I noticed that they were doing Did you mention this before? They were doing TOS sounds on the Titan. Yeah,
yeah.
The bing.
Yeah, last week they were doing the TOS, the radar, their Star Trek II like radar.
So. I was reading that like, supposedly the idea is that they're doing like Starfleet's doing a whole like retro thing in their design of their ships and like the noises they're bringing back from previous centuries. And, you know, this is a Neo Constitution class.
Yeah. That's the whole in-universe reason to do what they want to do as creators.
They're having a retro period.
They want to sell toys.
They can do what
but
they
it's
want.
All good.
Are they selling toys?
I'm sure they will eventually.
I want to get some fucking.
You can
Star
get
Trek.
Go online.
Type in ships and have a space battle.
Type in German Star Trek shelf.
No.
Wait a minute.
No. That one, that's where you're going to get the fucked up shit.
I don't know about that.
German poop shelf, no problem. German Star Trek shelf.
Oh, no.
You just...
They're pooping on it.
Retro All right. prairie it's got... hipsters.
It's got yes. poop on it.
Okay, we have to wrap things up.
Retro
I guess
prairie hipsters.
We didn't talk much about like Jack, but, one, you know, Jack just did his thing, and then he saw the door again.
Data was funny because he made a joke about using contractions because he was all set up. Because he actually used contractions earlier.
Yeah. Jack Crusher, you are up.
So that is no contraction.
Fuck you.
But then later on, he was using a contraction, and it was going to set up, like, Geordi was like, you use contraction, and Data was supposed to be like, oh, you're right,
but
I was.
But it was, like,
but
weird.
But it was a setup. Data was setting Geordi up. He's like, I know I was, but I'm going to pretend I didn't.
Yeah.
So it takes me a while to, like, remember what contractions are, because I'm always using contractions, and I don't. Unless I'm, you know, just in speaking, I'm using contractions. I don't write them out. But,
yeah. Well.
You know. Maybe you should start writing them out.
The good thing is that.
Bilana's on it.
That is a comforting thought. Yes.
Okay. I think that's it for us this week. I don't know what next week's episode is called.
It doesn't really matter.
It's going to be like a big two-part banger. I'm sure episode 9 and 10, closing out the season.
You've got to close it out.
Have last old, season of Picard.
It's going to be goodbye.
It's going to be all sorts of business. And I'm sure, you know, so far, so good.
Several extra
I am who I am.
I am.
I quibbled about a few things structurally, but I think otherwise it's been a thoroughly fantastic
season. The couple middle episodes were kind of like, I wouldn't say losing focus, but there was a little
setting
things up, and it's starting to focus again, and that's cool.
I'm
enjoying it. So
we will, whatever it's called, we'll be discussing that next week.
Little ship.
And then the following week. And once Picard is over, just for newer folks who don't know, when there's not a new show on, we just hop around the Star Trek universe.
Talk about whatever we feel.
Dan's developed a proprietary algorithm, and this is for real. This is an actual thing. He has an actual computer program.
This is not a prank.
That ingests our previous podcast and then spits out a list of episodes from which we can pick to discuss. And so that's what we'll be doing after Picard finishes up. Until Strange New Worlds, which starts in January 15th, and we'll figure out exactly how we'll do our programming at that time.
It'll be tricky.
You know, we'll figure it out. in the meantime, definitely go check out my guest spot on Open Pike Night. It's a great podcast. They have all sorts of awesome guests on, from actual proper guests from the Star Trek production of Strange New World.
What was that gesticulation that you just did, Patrick?
I did the proper guests. I waved my hands in the air.
You did jazz hands facing up.
Yes, to like
upward,
God.
Upward facing
to
jazz hands.
To the Lord.
Yeah, you were doing a Lord's praise.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual.
No, but they do a great coverage of Strange New Worlds, and they get all sorts of awesome interviews, and they also just cover a bunch of fun topics. Generally, Strange New Worlds
holograms.
Holograms as appropriate.
Holograms.
Go check them out, and you can check us out on social media. All the kids are tromping around the social media verse these days, so we're there. Wait, that didn't sound right. Lots of people.
You might want to think about that one.
Okay. Well, we are on Twitter at It's Got Star Trek, on Instagram at It's Got Star Trek, and Mastodon at It's Got Star Trek on Ton Forward Social. Where else? YouTube.
Apple Podcasts.
Go subscribe to us on YouTube. You got the Apple Podcasts, you got your Google Podcasts, you got all that business that you can do. But you know what? The easiest thing, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Yeah.
That's the website. You can get links to all these other things there at the website, among other things like
all the episodes.
Sorting the episodes by series,
bonus
and
episodes,
topic and all that. Yeah, you get all your
special
bonus
topics.
All sorts of stuff is available there. So,
have you ever seen a door?
No.
What's up with that?
They don't have
doors.
They have those hatches.
We will enjoy talking to you around this time again.
Talking at you.
Next week. Bye bye.
Next week, they're going to be.
Check, check, check.
You can cut that last part out of that.
No.
I've missed you, Imzadi.
I should have taught you another word.